we are declaring that 2016 is a year of personal fulfillment. Someone say amen. Say this with me. Let your will be done on earth as it is already done in heaven. Say it. Let your will be done on earth as it is already done in heaven. We're looking for fulfillment in family, faith, our plan, health, finances, and relationships. Some of you, if you have not received your fulfillment form, where you go on the back and you begin to record the things that you are intending to do this year, they're up here. They will be on the altar at the end of service. Come grab one and take it with you. But with this, we've been talking about different things. And one thing we've come to understand is that what your heart believes, you need to write it down. Look at somebody and say, write it down. You need to write down what your heart believes. Because there's supernatural creative power where you write down your words. The Bible says this about words. How about God's words? The Word became flesh and made His dwelling place among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. God has set forth the principle that the written word from your heart will become flesh. You, this year, write down what you are believing for, what you want to accomplish, and see that word become flesh this year. Because God believes and thinks what's in your heart is important. The scripture says it this way, delight yourself in the Lord and He'll do what? He will give you the desires of your heart. Somebody say, make it happen, Lord. Your intentions with fulfillment are wrapped in your needs and in your desires. So if you have needs and desires, and everybody does, what happens? It creates goal. Goal creates intention. And intention brings action. So you need to set a goal and establish an intention. Our first sermon talked about bringing it to pass, that there are things that you intend to have come to pass. 490 times in the Bible, there are people that had things come to pass in their life because of their relationship with God. Number two, we talked about the Word becoming flesh, how your words this year will become reality. How many got some words you're believing that are come reality this year? Say amen. Praise the Lord. So you need to write it down. You have a chance to do that. Last week we talked about labels. Many of us have received labels in our life, but some of you are taking ownership of your life and you're beginning to label yourself and you're calling out who God is calling you to be and you're saying blessed and you're saying happy and you're saying breakthrough and you're saying healed. Amen. Here's the reality. I've got a picture of my family. I take it there and I start putting words next to all the faces. And here it is, healed, blessed, prosperous, all of the above. In the rice experiment that you watch that words have power to alter organic things. You are an organic thing. The Word can alter you. Say, Word of the Lord, change me. You got to decide whether you want to be dependable. Then label yourself supportive. Maybe I want to be generous. You certainly are generous. I'm caring. Are you caring? Hardworking. How about kind? Sometimes just take a day and just put a label on yourself. My name is kind. Amen. Tell somebody this. A year from now, you may wish you had started today. Go ahead.
Yeah, right on.
Because the truth is, New Year's resolutions don't work. You know what? 25% of people will abandon them. 60% of people will abandon them in 6 months. And the average person makes a New Year's resolution several times over and over again. Diet state, 5%. It's not a good equation. Even after heart attacks. Only 14% of people make changes after having that catastrophic thing happen in their life. Say this to yourself, impossible. Say it. Say it. All things are possible with the Lord this morning. So today we want to talk about, do you have a dream? Look at somebody, ask them a question. Do you have a dream? Do you have a dream? You've got to have a dream. If you don't have a dream, how are you going to make the dream come true? Anybody ever watch South Pacific before? Happy talk, keep talking, happy talk. Talk about things you like to do. Hey, I like it. Anyway. Yeah, I do show tunes. What's up? Yeah. Three things about dreams you need to anticipate. Here are the three things you need to anticipate about dreams. Here they are. Number one, God's presence. In your dream, God's presence will be there. Number two, making vows that make dreams come true. Someone say amen. And number three, the need to be mercy motivated. You're going to find that in all of your dreams. So let's stand up on our feet. and let's read the Word of God this morning. We're going to read Proverbs 13:12. Say, I'm ready, Pastor. I'm ready, Pastor. Here we go. Ready? Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but... give God praise for His Word. Amen. Say this real loud. Because God's got a plan, I've got a plan. Say it. Let us declare the miracle of abundant life. Here we go. Lord, I now relinquish all resentments, grievances, and I... Wonderful. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Do you have a dream? You may be seated all around the room. I know you're thinking about your dreams, but don't be afraid to dream. Don't be afraid to dream. We were going to celebrate Martin Luther King Day yesterday. He said he had a dream. It's wonderful. In this one speech, he realized that the dream that he had wasn't going to happen in his lifetime. And in one speech, he says, I may not get there with you. How sobering is that, to have such a profound dream for your culture and have that burden on you to be the catalyst of change? Yet he became that guy. They said that guy, you know, if you ever watch him preaching, there were times in the later stages of his life, as he was speaking, you would see him grab his jaw like this. And the reason why he would do that is because there were muscles in his jaw that would come out of joint. Because he was so busy preaching and believing for change in our country. We are all in this room together today, worshiping God together because he had a dream. He said he dreamed for his little children will one day live in a nation where they will be judged by the not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Look at somebody and say, you got character. Say, you got good character. Another thing he said in his dream, one day, right there in Alabama, little boys and girls, black boys, white boys, all of them moving together, walking together. If you walk into our nursery, if you walk into our children's church, guess what? His dream is coming true. Abraham Lincoln had dreams about his life. He had dreams of him going alone to take care of the amendment that will abolish slavery. He actually had a dream, this kind of cartoon dream, of the dream he had about his own death. So sometimes, you know, dreams can be a little bit complicated, but he was a special person who did great things. But don't be afraid to dream this morning. The reason why is this. Dreams are a succession of images, ideas, emotions, and sensations that occur usually involuntarily in the mind during certain stages of sleep. The content and purposes of dreams are not definitively understood, though they have been a topic of scientific speculation, as well as a subject of philosophical and religious interest. 1/3 of our lives are spent sleeping. Some of you more, amen. But that's a lot of time in your life, sleeping, right? And so, anyway, let's go. In your lifetime, you will spend about 6 years of your life dreaming. 2,100 days of your life, you will be dreaming. Everybody dreams. Just because you don't remember your dreams, it does not mean that you didn't dream. And we dream on an average of 1 or 2 hours every night, and we often have 4 to 7 dreams in one night. 5 minutes after the end of the dream, half of the content is forgotten. After 10 minutes, 99%. Anybody ever had a dream? Say, oh, man, what was that? What was that about? In the Bible, you've got guys that had dreams. Nebuchadnezzar actually had a dream, and he couldn't remember it. It bothered him. It bothered him so much. And Daniel, he's going to kill all of the elite thinkers in his nation. And he said, hey, Daniel. Daniel said, listen, I'll do it, Nebuchadnezzar. I'll interpret your dream. So he had to go to God and ask God, give me somebody else's dream so I can tell him what the dream was. Somebody said, that's a miracle. But he got it done. Daniel went to his friends. He said, hey, guys, I just said something. Maybe I shouldn't have said. But will you pray with me? That's the greatest principle of Daniel and the miracles that happened in his life. He always included others in the things that he was about to do. Say, friends, come and pray for me that God will make this thing happen. Look up to somebody and say, God, make it happen. Say, dreams come true. If you are snoring, then you cannot be dreaming. Amen. So if your spouse is snoring, they're not dreaming. Right on. So you snorers, see?
Yeah.
Right on. Men tend to dream more about other men. Excuse me. Well, what? These are just facts. I don't make up the facts. I just report them. While women dream equally about men and women, you take it any way you want, people who give up smoking have longer and more intense dreams than others. Did you know that? Wow, that's cool. Toddlers do not dream about themselves. They don't appear in their own dreams until the age of 4. The word dream means, from the English word drema, which means joy or music. Everyone say joy and music. Yeah, but if it's joy and music, I believe dreams become nightmares due to what I consider the 3 D's of the fallen condition. Because dreams, joy, and music, why do we have nightmares? The reason why we have nightmares is because of the 3 D's. Deficit, say them with me. Deficit, say danger, and death. Those realities follow us around. They're wrapped up in fear. So whatever's happening on the inside of you, it bothers your 3 brains. Look at somebody and say, you got 3 brains. Got 3 brains. Right on. For the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to deal with the way we think or war with our 3 brains. Like pulling down strong. Everybody say, pull down strongholds. Yeah, that's your reptilian brain. That's your instincts. That's your basic instincts. Fight or flight. And in that place where that must be pulled down because of things that may have happened in your life that you don't even remember. And the Lord says that I pull those things down in your life and help you to cope. Anybody ever heard the figure of speech, what makes you tick? I wonder what makes him tick. What makes him tick? The other part of brain is casting down arrogant imaginations that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, which we're dealing with right now with dreams. That's my emotional brain. That's our creative brain. My picture place with memories. And the Bible says that the Lord will help you cast those imaginations down. I know it's going to go wrong. I see it going on. No, I'm going to cast that down. It's going to work out. Look at somebody say it's going to work out. Start seeing your life working out. Start seeing your plans coming to pass in Jesus' name. That's what the imagination is for. And the final part of the brain is the capturing every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's your intellect. That's your reasoning. That's your everyday choices. How to make the right choice. Because you've already thought in that lower brain that's defensive. You're already wrapped up with all the visuals of the past. And now you have to make a decision about the person you're looking at. And it's processed through all of those stages. And the Lord wants you to get to a place of love and joy and peace so that we can work with others more effectively. So if any of these 3 veins are not regularly filled with God's grace or love, your dreams become nightmares. How many got that? Say, I understood that, Pastor. That's why the Bible tells you, renew your mind. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. The Bible never tells you to renew your heart. Your heart believes, but your mind is the battleground. And you have to be intentional about speaking to yourself and changing the way you process what's going on around you. Do it right now. Just close your eyes and do it right now. And say to yourself, Lord, I'm changing the way I process things in my thought life. You can open them up. Interpretive dreams are like unread letters, according to the Talmud. There are 24 different types of dreams, and I'm going to tell you what they are. Here we go, ready. There's dreams of being pregnant. There are dreams of falling. Anyone have that one before? Dreams of suffocation. Hate that one. Dreams of flying. Very cool. Until I fall. Dreams of clowns. Right on. Well, I don't know what that one's about. Anyway, dreams of death, dreams of accidents. Anyone ever had that dream before? Reoccurring dream of accident. How about shadows? Dreams of shadows. How about this one? Here's one. Dreams of conflict or birds. Fire, being chased, weddings, dreams of buildings, dreams of burial. That's weird. Dreams of exam. Anybody still have that dream about the exam? You know, the class that you didn't go to all semester? And then you show up for some reason that day, and they're having an exam. And you ain't went to class for 3 months. And you're asking yourself, why am I here? And then I have to snap out and say, brother, you're over 50 years old. You ain't taking no exam.
What's the matter with you, son? And then it compounds the dream when, you know, you show up naked, then that's bad. You know, it's like, I have an exam today, I forgot to put my clothes on. Lord, what's the matter with me? There's dreams of treasure, paralysis, climbing, they all mean something. Forgetting, dreams of teeth. Anyway, dreams of being naked, yeah, I have that one. Dreams of snakes, and dreams, believe it, of the sun. These are the most 24 common reoccurring dreams that can become nightmares in your life. Their meaning can be both psychological and mystical. Now, dreams of snakes, I know a lot of people have this psychological, mystical meaning with snakes. Believe it or not, some of the meanings are about healing. And some of the meanings are not so good. Like, research has shown that fearful dreams of snakes suggest there's something in your past, possibly sexual abuse, that deeply frightens you. Something so bad happened that all you want to do is run from it. Even thinking about it freaks you out. And praise the Lord. Say, the Lord is a healer, right? I mean, there are children, there are people, when they were very young, they have things happen and somehow they block it. God gives them the ability to block it so they can function. And, you know, I've had that in my life. Some of you have had that in your life. God gave you the ability to function. And you find, why I keep having these dreams? And then you find out why you had them. But research says that if you have dreams about the sun, it's about being smart and your intellect and symbols of self-enlightenment. You're having a realization. Sunrise may indicate that things are beginning, new beginnings. Or if the sun is going down, it means that a season may be changing. The mystical meaning of the sun. You know, people used to believe the sun was the first God, and it wasn't, but it was like God because it does drive away the darkness and the peril. Say, God does drive away the darkness and the peril. I love dream quotes. Here are a couple of them. Live simply, dream big, be grateful, give love, laugh a lot. Amen. And if your dreams don't scare you, they aren't big enough. Anyone ever heard that one before? I like that one. Your future depends on your dreams, so go to sleep. Amen. That's what people are telling their toddlers. Go to sleep. Go dream. But Eleanor Roosevelt said the future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. That's something I had to learn to do. I had to stop obsessing about the negative part of my dream and begin to live in the beauty of it. I was once told by a wise man, he said, John, when you're dreaming, participate. Before you go to bed, you intend and say, you know what, when I have this dream, because it's me and it's important, I want to participate in it. I want to mess with the outcome of it. Anybody ever done that before? And that's a discipline in your life. You learn to work on the outcome because it's you. It's about you. Colin Powell said, dream doesn't become reality through magic. It takes sweat, determination, and hard work. Someone say, amen. This is what the Bible says about dreams. It's in the book of Job. For God speaks again and again in dreams and in visions in the night. Why does he do it? When your deep sleep falls, a person is lying in their bed, he opens their ears in times like that to do what? To give them wisdom and instruction. Say wisdom and instruction. Anybody ever had a dream that prepared you for something? Wow. I've had some prepare me for something I would deal with 3 or 4 years away. I had one that prepared me for something that would happen 10 years away. This is one thing to remember. If you remember the dream, it generally has a meaning. Write it down. Ponder it in your heart. Work with it. He gives you wisdom. He gives you instruction. Causing them to do what? Change their minds. And keeping them from what? Pride. And warning them of the penalties of what? Sin. And keeping them from falling into some trap. So Lord, he's speaking to you now. He's speaking to you when you're sleeping. He's trying to help you out. He wants you to hear him. So dreams can be useful. The Bible also says that dreams can be a spiritual bridge of communication. Say that with me. Bridge of communication between heaven and earth. For the scripture says this about it. In Joel chapter 2 verse 28. And this scripture was filled according to Acts 2 in Peter's first sermon of the church. He quotes Joel chapter 2 verse 28. This is what it says. And it shall come to pass afterward in the last days. Everybody say in the last days. For some reason, Peter said that was the last days.
So he said, in the last days, this is what's going to happen. The Antichrist is going to rise? No. Or bad things are going to happen? No. He says, I will do what? I will pour out what? My spirit upon what? Everybody say all flesh. That means the spirit pours out on you, your dogs, your neighbors. It just pours out. God's presence just pours out. That's why the world is not destroyed, because God's spirit is holding it together. And even the most despicable people that have tried to destroy it, they were not successful, because God's spirit has been poured out on all flesh in this earth. So every man must decide who he will serve. Amen. So he says, I pour out the spirit on all flesh, and not just you. He pours the spirit out on your dog, cats, animals. Did you know that the children of Israel lived in the wilderness, but because of God's spirit there with them, the wild animals didn't come into the camp? It was like there was a border between them and there, and they stayed away. And they knew that that was God's presence. They knew that was God's protection. They knew that was God's preservation. Because when His Spirit falls out on all flesh does what the Spirit of God has designed them to do. Someone say, Amen. Wow, that's cool, Pastor. Say that again. When God's Spirit falls out on all flesh has the ability to do what God designed it to do. Say, I have the ability to do what God designed me to do. So that spirit pours out on all flesh, on the dog. How many dog climbs up in the bed with you just at the right time and just loves on you? Spirit of God is on them. I love when people bless their animals. The Lord said, bless the animals. Take care of them, because you're caretakers of them. Here we go. He says, your sons and what? Oh, wow. That's original. Well, for them, because women didn't prophesy. You know, they were lesser beings. But Joel said, no, there are no lesser beings in God's kingdom. Daughters and sons will prophesy and receive the Spirit of the Lord. And your old men shall what? Dream dreams. And your young men shall do what? See visions. Say dreams and visions. Say a bridge between heaven and earth. Jesus said it this way. Jesus breathed on them before He left the earth. And He breathed on them and said this, receive the Holy Spirit. Look at somebody and say, receive the Holy Spirit. Have a dream. Let's stand up. Come on, stand up all around the room. Three things to anticipate as the Spirit pours out on you this morning. And you go into your dreams this week. And you're going to write some things down on your fulfillment sheet. Anticipate God's presence. God is there. I had a person that always had this dream of this dark room. And they were very small. And they were terrified in this dark room. But in the dream, and this is a dream a number of people have had, we would always ask the person, now next time you have that dream, look for Jesus. He's there. And inevitably, when they have the dream again, they find Jesus was there with them. And that even though it was painful, it did not destroy them. And it brought healing to their lives when they realized that Jesus didn't really abandon you. He was there all along. So God is present in your dreams. Look for Him. Second thing is that there are vows that you will make that will make your dreams come true. They'll make them come true. And then finally, you need to know that your dreams are always going to lead you to be merciful. 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 So close your eyes. And just breathe. Because breathing is healing. Hope deferred makes hearts sick. But when dreams come true at last, there is joy. There is life. There is hope. There is hope. Promises, promises, promises. Receive.
on all flesh. Just go ahead as you're sensing it. Just, you know, put your hand on your hip or just make an adjustment in your body as you feel God's Spirit and His peace coming over you. You know, just touch your chest. Respond to His presence that's in the room. You shall have dreams. You shall have visions, and they're going to be productive. They're going to help you to love, help you to grow, help you to serve. Some are going to heal you. Some are going to heal you. They matter. I can't wait to continue talking to you about this topic. It's a fabulous topic. A third of your life sleeping, 6 years of your life taking in information about things that are to come, about what God is preparing you for, what Job said. He says, you know what? He comes and He warns you. He gives you wisdom. He gives you instruction. Receive that from the Holy Spirit right now. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, in that same reflective spirit that you're in, with your eyes closed and the rest of the world shut off, repeat after me. Become the right person. It's important to us. Seek the right timing by trusting God is above it all. Using my wisdom to seek God through it all. And by all means, live it, baby. Live it, baby. Yeah. Seems like it means more when I say, baby, just live it. Just let it happen. How much? Didn't that feel good? You know, when your mom will call, hey, baby, it'll be okay. It'll be all right. And always do the right thing. Remembering, we do no great things, only small things with great love. And finally, my task is not to seek for love, but to merely seek and find all barriers within myself that have built itself up against love. Now, right now, feel those barriers against love come down. Feel it. Sense it. You'll have greater enlightenment. You'll hear God even more clearer just because you sat in this room this morning. Say this with me. Love never fails. Say it again. One more time. I believe God created the heavens and the earth. I believe Jesus is the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life. I believe Jesus made a decision out of love and obedience to His Father in heaven. He went to the cross, laid down His life for all humanity. I believe on the third day, the Heavenly Father brought Him back to life again. I believe that same Spirit that raised Christ from the grave now lives in me, empowering me to do the good, acceptable, and perfect will of my Father in heaven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The word of the Lord. Give God praise before you go this morning.